Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag and you're sitting them like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got my corner sofa off them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Fonthill, Belgard, and now Omni Park, open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Fonthill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.rightstyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them Terence and Calvin sent you, and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Right Style Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the snow. Till your body is dead. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Episode 264 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, CLB.
And this week we're joined by
Big Bang O'Leary.
Here's O'Leary. Big Bang.
What's happening?
World champion now.
Yeah.
You were telling us you'd be a world champion 5 years ago. We were sitting in a hair salon. We had Pierce on, obviously, at the very start, for anyone who doesn't know. And we were just talking about it. You were 21 at that stage.
Yeah, 21, yeah.
Talking, you were saying, I'm going to be a world champion.
21. And we did say you come back in with the belt.
Yeah.
And you couldn't believe it when I said you come back in with the belt and you were like, fuck up. Don't get that belt in.
I'm not bringing the belt. I would have fell out. I wouldn't have did this podcast. I'd have been on a protest.
I'd be bringing that belt everywhere, Pierce. Parent teacher meetings and all, just coming in, sitting there and all. What? Yeah. Young one talks in class, sushi and what?
Yeah. Teacher shitting. How's things with you, Pierce? How have you been keeping since then? Obviously, you're at the main on a bad place.
Good. It's been busy, but plenty of ups and plenty of downs.
Yeah.
Look, I guess that's where anything in life, but I think you have more downs than you have ups, and just kept chipping away, yeah.
It's maybe. Even surprising hearing you saying you probably have more downs than ups when you look at your career, because you would think from the outside, right, he's putting in hard graft all the time, obviously, but how many spectacular knockouts and you've won all through your career. I'd sit back and probably go, he's having a fairly handy so far, that fella.
Yeah, but look, that's social media.
Yeah.
Like, and at the end of the day, really, like, we're an athlete. Every day we're going to train hard regardless, do you know what I mean? But it's the politics and the business side of things that people don't see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, I probably would have liked to say this into the podcast, but going back probably 14, 16 months ago, I wanted to give up boxing. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, fuck, I have enough of this. I'm done with it. But it was the resilience and the perseverance that I built up over the years, from 12 years of age or whatever like that, right through the whole years, that kept me going, being advised with the right people, and just said, give it time, just hang on. And that person told me back then, you're gonna be headlining, you're gonna be doing your own shows, you're gonna be fighting New York, you're gonna be doing this, you're gonna be doing that. And I was like, because of the position I was in now at the moment, I was like, I should give up, will you? I'm done. Couldn't be arse. But kept sat in the gym, but I was just training, and fuck me, my ear came around, and here I am now. Everything what he said it came true. It manifested.
Yeah.
Now headline my own. Well, didn't headline my own show, but
you may as well did.
Yeah.
Fought for a world title, won it. I'm going back now. Going to headline my own show again, and then we're going to New York then. So, like, you couldn't have wrote it, do you know what I mean? But that was God testing you whether you wanted it enough, I believe.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. Why were you feeling that way? Was it just politics, like no, background shit?
Yeah, no, just in the background that people don't see, like the business side of it. It's like, because as you're going up the levels, and You're in the camps, and you're surrounded by the elite fighters, and listen to what they're getting and what he's getting and him, and you're inspired in these, and you're piecing them up, and then you're like saying, how the fuck am I not getting that, and how am I not getting this? So you start to ask questions when things, when questions, when people start hitting you with questions, then you're like, hold on a minute, oh, well, he's getting this and he's getting that. And people don't like that. So kind of taking the ball into your own court and doing it yourself, and that's what I've done. And I've rather been away in camp, I was away in camp learning the business side of it a lot more than I thought I knew. So going over there, kept my ears to the ground and working bollocks off day in, day out, and I know the business now, I know how it works, and I'm surrounded by people who I wish are around forever. Do you know what I mean? And that's the people that I need at this moment of time now. So yeah, fucking, I'm on the horizon again.
So yeah, like we were saying, Pierce, 5 years ago we had you on the podcast, and we were recording it in the hair salon. You were saying I'm going to be world champion, and I think everybody around the area, everyone who kind of knows you or has an in and boxing, always thought you would go the whole way. But obviously that giant journey had to start somewhere. So you ended up moving to England then, didn't you?
Yeah.
What age were you when you moved to England? What was the thought process?
I was 20. So I turned professional in October 2019. I was only 19 and had 3 fights. One in Belfast, one in Bolton, and one in Scotland. And they made the next step. Like footballers moving to the UK, etc. I need to go out to the UK. I need to be surrounded by the professionals. And the only way down it is going and learning. So, sucked the feelers out. Texted a few fighters who I knew was already over there. And they were like, yeah. It's getting a bit of a voice off them. And then I was like, ask if I can go over. And they were like, yeah, pop over. So, long story short, I met up with all of them. Spoke to all of them, Grant, and went over. I had a coach. And I rocked over with, bear in mind, my border, she was pregnant at the time. And I said to myself, fuck me, man, I need to start fighting here. I need a few quid. I was like, so I rocked over, had a 1,000 quid in my pocket, backpack. Had no idea where I was staying. I was told the accommodation sorted. So I went, lovely, I'm staying in London. Don't have to pay out here, yeah. Lovely stuff. Flew to Gatwick, got a black, I remember like it was yesterday, got a black cab from there to where I was staying in the Shortens Tavern, that's where it was. Went in and paid him 60 quid in the black cab. I went, right, I have 900 quid now left, yeah? Didn't count the 40 quid. I said, I have 900 quid left. Right, just be smart now, you have played 6 weeks to live here with that, yeah? So anyways, text the boxer, come out. He walked out. Out of the car, I went, we're not living here. I went, I swear to get me bags. He says, yeah, follow me, champ. Followed him, walked through the pub. I went, are we getting a bit of food here, or what's the crack? What's going on? He said, no, follow me upstairs. I went, good luck. Went through the bar, seen the kitchen. I went, what the fuck am I getting myself into here? Walking up the stairs into the gaff. Well, which it wasn't even a gap, it was just like 3 rooms. One was an office, the other 2 rooms were bedrooms and the kitchen. So I looked, I'm walking the stairs, grease that thick on the floors. I went, oh, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Homesick started kicking in straight away. He went, oh my God, get up. Went into the room, I went, yeah, where's my room? He went, no, oh, there's no room, you're staying in the sofa. I went, what? I said, I'm not staying in that sofa. I went to stay in that thing, I'm not staying in that. He said, oh, there's no room. So I went, I'm not staying in that. So I said, who's in the other rooms? He said, oh, one's an office and one's another bedroom. I went, yeah, I'll move into the bedroom. And he's like, oh, the chef downstairs fell out with his wife, he's living in there. I went, right, sound, yeah, no problem. So this was Sunday. So Monday, went training. I met Al Smith and Eddie Lamb, which is me coaches at the time. Fucking unbelievable it was in the gym. You know, like the buzz as a young kid moving over. So Grant, come back from there, from the gym. Went to Primark. So I went up, got a few duvets and sheets, etc. Went down, I said, why am I even getting sheets for? There's only a blade to stick these on. So I just got the duvet, followed the duvet, got the other, followed the duvet over the other side, grinning, had a pillow, went, oh, I'm all right here, I'm cushy here, yeah. Looked up, a lot of holes and through the ceiling, and I went, what the fuck? Couldn't write it, and I said to myself, how long do you live here? And he was just telling me, like, been in here a couple of while for a camp. I went, yeah, yeah, sound, yeah. Any word on him when he's going to move out? Did that fella? And he went, I don't know. So he fought 2 weeks before, or 2 weeks to the time I got over there. after he fought, he left. Obviously, I wouldn't stay in his bed, so I stayed where I was. And then a couple of days later, the fella moved out. So I went, oh, lovely, I'm going here now. Went in. So I was expecting a bed and, like, a bit of a good room. It was even worse. Went in, damp windows, mould in the windows, bleeding. It wasn't even a bed, there was a mattress on the floor. There was an old desk, must be from the office, with a telly on it. That telly was that size. I was like, he wasn't watching that, no way he's watching out of that. So I got a telly, stuck it on it. I was trying to make it a little bit like homely and comfort, you know, and I didn't want that, and I was like, oh, this, so started getting in, I had my fire stick with me and all, so it was grand, and watching YouTubes and watching films and whatever like that. But there was train tracks beside me, and I was just like, the trains would go during the morning, waking up, oh, what's that? New scenery you're not familiar with. So I was jumping up, didn't like it, and that was it, so steadying there for about 2.5 years, like literally roughed it out.
So many fight camps would you have done there first?
I would have done about four, I'd say. About four or five, maybe. But bear in mind, it was in COVID.
Yeah.
So obviously when COVID happened, it was through the whole winter, wasn't it? And I was over there, and obviously I was fighting, I had a date. I was fighting behind closed doors. And I couldn't fly back and forth to see the family and whatever like that, so I had to stay there. And it was snowing, freezing cold in the place, bitter. And going to sleep with clothes and all on just to stay warm. Went over, grand. I was doing all that. But then, when I was flying back and forth, I had to go from Dublin to Belfast then because of, remember, the COVID vaccine certs. So I had to go up there to get a bus back down. So it was nearly like a 6-7 hour journey just to come home from London, which would have been only an hour. So done all that grand, but it was great. Looking back at it now, it was some experience.
I was going to say, it must have been rough at the time, but
it was dog rough. I was saying, and I was just listening to people's stories and saying to myself, oh, this is the real blading rocky style here. Living above a pub, blading hate. Hate every minute of it. But looking back now, it made me. You know what I mean? It made me. Like, there was times I was in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning when the place opened back up after COVID. And people having the bills, whatever like that. Sure, looking outside like this, there's people having a full on strainer. Oh, man, I'm just looking out my window like that. I just pulled the window up, yeah. They nearly coming in on top of me. Pulled the window up, just looking out. I'm looking at everyone fighting and whatnot. I'm like, what the fuck? 2 o'clock in the morning, I went crazy, breaking her up, back to sleep, then getting up for training, then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there was a time. Oh, there's a time, I remember. I was in bed and the fire alarm went off. Not the fire alarm, sorry. No, the alarm when if someone breaks in.
The house alarm, yeah.
House alarm. And I heard a bit of a smash. I went, whoa, what the fuck? Started panicking, yeah. I went, right, I always expected calvin. When you're from the inner city, you're expecting 4 or 5 blokes, ballyclavas running at you. Yeah, hatchets and whatnot. And I'm saying to myself, oh my God, this is it. This is it. I started hearing someone downstairs at the door banging as if they were trying to get in, like pulling it. I went, oh, this is it. This is it. I went into the kitchen, opened the drawer, had a knife that size. Yeah. And had me jocks on it. Sucked the knife down my jocks. I was walking. The banging stopped. So I went, look, get down. Or not. I went down, walked down, yeah. Didn't open the door. Couldn't hear anything, couldn't hear nobody. So I opened it easy. I went out, place is pitch black. But I seen the glass on the floor. I went, how come that's bleeding there? So I just looked out then, right through the door. Mate, you want to see? There was a bloke sitting there Taurus G's, yeah. Honestly, the fright, I got the blood drained from me. Drained. And I mean, like, panic mode kicked in, proper order. I was like, what the fuck? What's that? So he's sitting there, yeah, like that, head down. Big, he must have been about 6'7". He was a monster of a bloke, yeah. Blonde hair. Like, he had real, real long hair. Like, fucking down to his knees nearly. Oh, blonde. I went, oi. And he couldn't hear me. I went, oi. So I opened the other door then, where he's at smashing the window in. So he opened that. I went, oi. He went like that. All right. I said, what are you doing? You can't be here. What? You can't be here. So I got locked in. I'm going to fall asleep at the toilets. I went. He must have been there for at least 3-4 hours. At least 3 hours anyways, right? So we said, are you all right? And yeah, yeah. Well, he stood up. I swear to God, if he hit me. I had the knife, yeah. And when he stood up, I was looking at him. If he threw his hand, I'm going to still have to stick this in him. Because just for protection, yeah, I was going to just dice him up. I looking at him and the exit's that way. The exit's that way. And so I got a bit of confidence then showing him it. The exit's that way.
Yeah.
So anyways, got the keys, opened up, let him out, locked up, locked the gaff up then, down like the pub door, grand. I grew up the next morning and got a phone call off the landlord. The owner that owned the pub, Jeff, lovely fella, still comes around me fights now. He does, travels all around the UK. He came to Dublin last week and offered me, and he said, oh Pierce, so looking back at the CCTV, he said, oh, I was praying to God that he didn't do anything. He said, where'd you get that knife? I said, that was up in the drawer in the kitchen. He went, thank fuck he didn't do anything with that. I said, look, it was just for a bit of protection and show him. I said, this place is a blading ranch. So he started laughing. He said, that's one for the books to put into your, books when you get older and retire.
Yeah.
Said, yeah, yeah, yeah. But looking back now and the people who I actually met living in the pub, being there and the experience of it, yeah, I wouldn't change it. It made me, yeah, I think it was tops.
Nobody can question someone's discipline.
Yeah.
When they're living like that, you know, because I think as well, another perspective from the outside might be that boxers live this high lifestyle from the get-go.
Yeah.
When it's just not that. What kept you there? What kept you disciplined enough to go, do you know what, I can see what I'll get out of this?
It's just the struggles from back home, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's brutally honest, just the struggles back home. Yeah, I know I was struggling over there, but If you're gonna be struggling over there, you're struggling on your own. Right back here, you're struggling with your family. Your family's struggling as well, just as much as you are. So
yeah.
It's like you've got no choice. You need to do it. You need to make it. Even if it had to last another 6 years, doesn't matter. You needed to do it. Mm.
Yeah.
Once I kept believing myself, the breakout was gonna happen at one point, and probably didn't happen back then for a long time, but it's not happening now.
Mm.
And you know.
Because I always think, what separates a Pierce O'Leary from another young lad? Because we know so many talented lads that just don't have that discipline to, like, if you give them that opportunity in this stinking place above a pub, and they'd probably just turn away and they wouldn't be able to do it. They're just like, fuck that life. Like.
Well, there was other fighters there in the camp as well that was actually in the pub and they couldn't hack it.
Yeah.
They went back home. So, it just goes to show. Look, it's as you two lads know, how bad do you want it?
Mm.
That's really it. How bad do you want it? And where you come from, where we come from, you've got no choice. If you can see the bigger picture of them, don't mean dreams, but those goals, and that's where you want to be, you've got no choice to go and dig in deep and go down on the gumshoe when it's needed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's mad that you were saying there at the start, Pierce, that you were going to pack her in a year ago. Yeah. But you could have packed in at the start when you were above a pub, leaving not even a sheet on your bed, and people understand that. But yeah, since then, you have been fighting in stadiums up and down the UK, over here as well. And do you know what I mean? If you want to compare that, you'd be like, if I didn't pack her in back then, you can't be doing it now.
No, definitely not. I wouldn't. No, exactly. That's probably being in the pub that gave me the resilience of right, you need to keep going here.
If I could dog it out there.
Yeah. And bear in mind, when I was quitting, like, I was in a bit of a nice place in Liverpool, nice house, and I was saying to myself, pain my face here with this, but if you put yourself back in the situation where you were at the start, you'd say, oh no, heck, give me that, give me my problems back now, I'm going to just keep on going. Do you know what I mean? But look, as a fighter, you always want more, you always want better, but it's just all down to resilience.
Yeah, but you have to know your worth as well.
Oh, and no, of course. Where you're of course. At, yeah. And look, if someone tells you no, you want to just keep on going against it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Until you get a negotiation, until you get a fair point that suits the two of you. But, and that's what I've done, and I think people respect you a lot more for doing it.
So, Pierce, you were in. You said you'd done 4 or 5 camps there, yeah? Is when that all moves on, when you signed up with Frank, and that kind of lifts that cloud, or what way does that work out with you?
I was with Frank for 2 fights when I was there, and moved to Liverpool. Sorry, signed with Frank, gave me the opportunities. I fought on Joe Joyce's cards, etc. Big cards in the O2, etc. Unbelievable experience. But coming from a small hall shows, which 2,000 people in front of you, if even, you think that's great. But when you're going out there and there's 5,000-6,000 people in a 20,000 arena, it doesn't feel no different. You're just like, yeah, right. I'm fighting here. That's it. That's all I'm doing. I'm fighting. There's no big massive adrenaline feeling going out with the crowds excited and like that. You've got a job and you're going out there and you're going to kill him in front of you regardless. So doing that, I was being doing that up and down the UK, didn't get the box in Ireland for a long time. Up and down the UK, doing dogging it out, roughing it out, bringing 50 to 100 people over all the time. Majority of it was all families just coming to support me. Fighting in the middle of nowhere, obviously, not me, sorry, 3 fights ago, I fought in Ipswich.
Yeah, Portman Road.
Oh my God, what a nightmare to get to. And every single person that came over there, I couldn't thank them enough, because I didn't know how hard it was to get there. I went, I don't think I would have done this myself for somebody. Genuinely, I wouldn't have. Like, it was that's how far it was. Like, flying into London and another 2.5 hour train out, it was a disaster. So
Where is Ipswich? Near London, is it?
No, it is Midlands, up it? In the Midlands, but people are flying to London, which is because that was the easy access ticket there.
Yeah,
I just took my hat off each and every one of them. I said,
yeah,
after the hotel, after the fight, I just wanted to thank everyone because it was a hike, but that was the support that people knew, as you said from the start, from the NSC, people knew it was going to be a world champion.
Yeah,
and people got behind me. That was more motivation, and that was more so like saying, I've got to do this now. People are relying on me. And went out, up and down the UK, as I said, doing all the hard stuff, which now some fighters are very lucky to have what they have. They don't have to go through what I went through. But yeah, just like, obviously when coming back to Dublin, I proved the point. I've done all the hard graft, I've done all the nitty gritty stuff that most fighters don't want to do. I've done it all, and the reception I got on Fight Night.
Yeah, first take us back to when you signed for Frank, because that has to be a big deal for you. You know what I mean? You've won.
Sorry,
the biggest.
Sorry, I got sidetracked there because I had the point wrong. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, signed with Frank. Obviously left Dublin, went over there on my own, but no promoter. And just a blade, as I said, it was just a hope. And signed with Frank, and that was it. Literally, signed with Frank, TV deal, TNT Sports at the time, was not the zone. I went, oh, lovely, yeah. I said, I visualise people, yeah. Not watching the United games. And
you're facing the corner.
Oh, yeah, yeah, coming up, yeah. I was like, ah, oh, lovely, you got it, lovely. But it hasn't happened. But it has with the zone, so yeah. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
But that was the vision, and that's when all the vision started. That's when everything all started coming into play then. I was like, right, this is it now.
This is the bit of hope
this
now.
This is the bit of hope. And yeah. And that was it, just kicked off, boom. Fight after fight after fight, to have dates. And the momentum I had then, it was great. And then I went to Liverpool then, because I needed to get out. To be honest with you, I needed to get out of the pub. And when I got out of the pub, I moved to a little place in London, which is a gaff. It was a lot better, but it wasn't great. And I said to myself, I can't bring the family over here. No way. Because my young one, she was only, I think she was one at the time. So I can't bring her in here. No way. So I said, look, I need to go somewhere better. And then Kate Taylor's fight happened in the Tree Arena. I went, me nutritionist, I had a chat with him. I said, look, things are going to be getting changed. I want to make a few changes to the team. Okay. Told him about my coaches. So told him about what coach I want to go with and what I want to do. And he was like, yeah, no problem. But he knew it was going to be a problem because he knew the coach I wanted to go with, which now is Joe McNally. He was getting rid of Raleigh's other fighters. He wanted to downsize, not take any more on. But bear in mind, he never told me then this is going to be a problem for you. So he went, okay, who else in mind? Anyone else? Any other trainers in mind? I went, no, no. So I'm going to him. And he was like, okay. So went over, met Joe. I met Joe and he'd tell you this himself, but everything he was saying to me, he was trying to throw me away off going with him, but he was saying it in a way where you can come and try, but I can't commit to you. If I can just give you 20 minutes here and there, I went, that's enough for me. And he went fuming. So I rang him then 2 days later, and I went back to Ireland. I said, I'll see you in the new year. I went over, and that was it. I never looked back, and best decision ever made. And alongside with Frank, and we were fighting then, we got a date off Frank for March, and the 16th of Paddy's weekend. And to be honest with you, moving to a new coach and getting the sort of fight that we got, you wouldn't accept it, but we had no choice. And how we dealt with it. And that fight there and then for a coach, looking at his fighter in the ring, told him everything he needs to know about the fighter. Mm. It was the best fighter ever. So that was it. Then we just went from there, gelled on, and he it was absolutely amazing. And obviously the fight that I was fighting was these lads moved from Belarus and Armenia, Russia, through all these other countries in Europe, like Germany, etc. And you say to yourself, oh yeah, he's down as a German, not so good of a fighter, blah blah. But Joe done his research and said, this kid's been all over the world fighting, he's no crap here. So I went in and put him down the second round, put him down, flattened him, and he got back up. I went, how do you get back up from that? So done it again, then go back up. I went, whoa. Then he pinged me, took me apart for the first about 3-4 rounds during the fight. I went, oh, he's catching up here now. So fifth round, he caught me with a backhand, nailed me, and I was saying about 3 of him. I went, whoa. First time I've ever been dazed, and I wasn't hurt, but first time I ever got
in
rocked. Yeah. I went, boom, took a little half step back, reset myself, went again. And that goes to show how much mature I was at the time. Do you know what I mean? I was like, right, I knew what to do then. I knew to step back and regroup and back to the drawing board and go again with the tactics that I was given. And I went back to the corner, and Joe said, how are you? I said, yeah, I'm grand, yeah. I said, just give me the gum shield. He said, ah, fucking love it here. Get back out. Yeah. I went back out and stuck to the game plan, and the ninth round. Now it was like through the fight, it was tip and tap, you know, it could have gone either way. Ninth round, he tried a combination, but then I catch it. I set it up and I catched it. and Cormier left hook, and I flattened him. He didn't get back up there on the 8 count.
Yeah.
And the relief, the adrenaline. I was like, oh, thank fuck. Thank fuck, that's done. Oh my God, I just looked at the corner. And Frank was made up. Frank, even from then on, Frank knew that I had it. And he told me, he said, I'm going to bring Dublin, I'm going to bring boxing back to Dublin, and I'm going to make you fight for the world title. And he stuck to his word, and 2 years later, that's what's happened.
Yeah. Just for anyone listening who's not a big boxing fan, Frank Warden is the promoter. He's one of the biggest promoters in the world.
Yeah.
But could you feel a jump straight away when you signed with Frank, from where you were boxing, what shows you were on, when you signed with him? Was that a huge jump straight away?
No, not really. Look, maybe, like, if we had a coach here or a manager here, they may tell you, yeah.
Yeah.
But as a fighter, there's no difference. Yeah. You're going out and fighting.
You're still going
I'm still going out and fighting. It doesn't matter where it is. Maybe the occasion, maybe I didn't take that occasion at the moment of time. Like, oh, I'm at the sign there. Made up, blah, blah. I was made up, but the excitement was like, right, it's only getting started now. Back there. I'm always hard on myself. I never really enjoy any moments. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that that's nearly a positive in some sense, though, for some people. Like, someone like you probably just going, oh, this is great. But still, back to work, I still have to fight something.
Yeah, because nothing in my dreams or goals is achieved other than signing to a promoter.
Mm.
You know, and it's mad because going back maybe probably about a year beforehand, I'm a big believer in pen and paper. And I kept saying to myself, I'm going to sign to one of the biggest promoters in boxing. And I kept saying, I kept writing it. And then a year later, bang, boom, got signed. I went, that was good.
Hmm. What's that called? Journaling?
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Journaling and just visualisation and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But just, yeah, maybe, may not. Look, I'm always hard on myself, but maybe I should credit myself a little bit more. Hmm. But if you do, what, I don't know. I'll just be me. I'm just like, right, what's next? Do you know what I mean?
And in fairness, it's worked for yourself, our place. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but it's like, when users ask me the questions, I have to think back about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, I'm thinking, do you know what I mean? It's not on the top of my mind to say, oh yeah, it was this, it was that. It's like, how did I feel? And what was it like? And you get, it's kind of bringing you back down again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Pierce, do you still feel, have you ever felt fear before a fight? Like, when you sign up for a fight, let's say then fight day, fight night comes along, are you nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not fear. It's nervous.
Right. Yeah.
It's nerves. It's the adrenaline, the buzz. Right. This is it. Do you know what I mean? My fear is losing and going back home to my kids.
Mm.
That's my biggest fear. Everything else I couldn't care about. Literally, I couldn't care about nothing else whatsoever. That's my biggest fear. It's going home and because she gets excited when I win. She just be buzzing, like she's moving about, like, and oh, my daddy won this and that. Like, I've got to keep her saying that. I don't want to go back and say, oh, I've lost, and then she's on a downer. Do you know what I mean? Which way, I don't know which way she's going to take that.
Mm.
I don't plan on either, but that's my biggest fear. Like, even when I fought there, in the homecoming, it was there was no fear. It was a mad, crazy. And to be honest with you, it hasn't hit me yet. It hasn't hit me that I fought there. And people was like, "What's the come down?" Like, and I went, "Yeah, I got a small come down, but in the previous fights, I got a bigger come down, and I got a bigger high." But I put it down to visualisation, being there before it happened.
Yeah,
so it's no surprise to you.
I've already lived it.
Yeah.
Even going out doing the ring walk.
Yeah.
I had a little peep out. And you can see in some of the videos that's on Instagram. You can see the videos backstage and you can actually see me going out and having a little glimpse of it. And I seen half of the arena, a quarter of the arena, but it was packed. And the noise of it. And I was looking, I was dead calm, dead quiet. Maybe too quiet, maybe too, like, relaxed. I looked out, I went, yeah. And then, as soon as I made my ring walk, up onto the stage, I looked and I seen the whole arena. I went, oh, what the fuck? Unbelievable. I was like, it's either going to make it or break it. Choose.
Yeah.
And I said that. And like, if you look on the stage, if you look at my eyes and not my mouth, I wasn't talking to myself, but if you look at my eyes, you can see I'm thinking, I'm speaking to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care who's there. Like, I'm chilled in here and I'm speaking. Kept saying to yourself, no one's beating me here. Nobody's beating me. I'm the best. Too young, too fresh. Kept saying all that. What was I saying? I didn't take it all in.
Yeah.
And then when my auntie, she was the one that sang me out.
Yeah.
So when she stopped singing then, and the music come on, I was like, right, just hold on for a minute. Let the beat kick in. Let everyone enjoy themselves first. Right, let's go to walk now. And then bang, just, as soon as we went down them stairs then, it was like that. Couldn't see around me, couldn't see nothing. And I remember one fella push me, give me a dig, like push me like that. I remember the excitement, like. And I went, there's only one fella that'll do that to me. And I knew exactly who it was. And I said to him after the fight, I said, you push me? He said, yeah. I knew.
Who was it? Who was it? You made that
one of, it was one of the lads that I used to train with, Paddy, his name is. And I just knew that he'd be the only one with the balls to push me. You know what I mean? And he knocked me over, yeah, and I nearly went through the other side of the blade and railings. And the other fella had to catch me. One of the securities had to catch me. And I didn't even know where I was going because it was so tunnel vision, locked in and down on the ground. I had no idea. The fella was actually getting stirred, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Up and then grew up onto the steps, onto the ring. I had another glimpse around. I looked at my coach. And I gave him a wink and went, and then that was it then, boom, in. I just knew it was business then. But after, I had to do a drug test. And I was there for about 2.5 hours, so I just got to the toilet. Jordan, I done a press conference, come back. Went, done my urine test, done all that, and then went back to my dressing room. I was expecting everyone to be still buzzing, but whatever. Went back, no one there. Nobody. Where's everyone gone?
Everyone was in the harbour, master.
Everyone's gone. Gone. They let me go. I let me. So, do you know what? I just sat there on my own.
Yeah.
I just sat there on my own. I said, that was it. I think I'm at the crack in it. Showed me word. Monday morning, I got a phone call. Yeah, we're at the booking the Tree Arena again for you. I went, yeah, is that main event? He went, yeah. I went, right, I'm the big player now. The booking shows around me.
Yeah.
They know what tickets I can do. They're not going to lose out on any tickets on any shows that they're going to do in Dublin with me.
How many tickets did you do for the Tree Arena that night? It was a couple of thousand, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Personally, I think it was like 3,800.
Yeah, because
personally,
people
went to Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I told everyone, just come to me on my link. I told everybody.
Well, you heard serious rumors, but you probably be able to confirm them. But there was 2,000 tickets gone after 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, that was gone. That was gone.
2,000 tickets in 2 weeks.
It's not normal. Them numbers are astronomical. Look, I don't think people really will take that even in 2,000 in 2 weeks. But then,
and bear in mind, you're not the headline. You're not the main event.
No, no, no.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so like,
and no disrespect to Kekachi or Jazza Dickens, like,
yeah.
No, but look.
But that was the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was the main event. Let's put it that way.
You were, but I said this. I was talking to someone in the week before the Pierce, right? And I heard in the first 2 weeks you sold 2,000, right? And then I was like, how many weeks have we since then? I was like, he's only had to sell them more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
look, the whole of town was there. The whole of town was there. Yeah. I genuinely am serious saying that.
No, everyone was there. Everybody.
And I remember thinking, I said it to someone before, like, you're going to the fight. I was like, yeah, but like, you know, it's going to be empty. Like, I'm out here at the places. Yeah, right? And he was like, no, you have to stay. I was like, we're going to be the only ones there.
Yeah.
And we were.
Yeah, I know.
We left halfway through the main event. I was like, you can't stay here. There's no one else here.
Yeah. The place was empty. I never went back out because of where I had to go and do after the fight with interviews, etc. But when I went back, I actually seen all them, the main event, Kekachi and whatnot, was walking past me, and he didn't really look too happy, you know what I mean? But when I was in the dressing room sitting there just on my own, the feeling was, yeah, they're doing it. That feeling, I swear to God, I can't explain it. The adrenaline rush that I had going through me, and then that was it. Bang.
It's so
I just knew, because even I was not not proud of myself of the fight, but I was proud of myself of how I handled the fight. How we handled the media, like the to be honest with you, if it was anyone else, their heads probably would have fell off with the crowd. The crowd, yeah. the energy of the crowd alone would have bled and drained life out of you.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking up there and saying to myself, these nut jobs. Yeah, these are, look at all these nut jobs.
You know the thing about
buzzing.
That is, Piers, you know all them people personally.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
all these people
yeah.
by name, yeah. and that's his cousin, and that's whole fella, and that's his sister, and that you know all these people.
Yeah,
but
no,
the beautiful
everyone.
Thing is, even if all them people weren't there, you were going to sell that out regardless. If you were a main event, I feel like the whole country is now at that just. It feels like the Bernard Dundas.
Yeah.
But with you, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
do you feel
yeah,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it feels to me. Like, I remember watching that and going, like, he can sell out anywhere in Ireland now at any stage.
Yeah.
And the country's getting behind him.
Well, my manager now is Brian Peters.
Yeah.
Which is Bernard Dunn's old manager.
Yeah.
And when Bernard's fighting the Tree Arena, well, the Point Depot at the time, it was BP Boxing that was promoting it. Which is Brian Peters' associates, and they were putting her on. Brian Peters, couldn't believe the tickets were done. She was going to other fighters, I was going to other fighters and getting tickets off other fighters that they couldn't sell. I went, just give me your tickets. And they're like, oh no, my manager said I can't, I've got to hold on for a bit. I went, I'm getting rid of them, they're gone. Then got a lump of tickets off a fighter. Yeah, you just keep it 10%. So I was hardly going to sell them and give you your 10%, was it? Madman. I said, give me that money. Give me that 10%. I'm after that. Stop, but I wasn't on it. I wasn't on a different day at them. So I was like, yeah, just give me all them picks for me. Give me all them.
Yeah, no, it was some night, Piers. It was fucking. Like, even the entrance and all, you know, like. And there were some good fights on the undercard. Some great fights
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, yeah, right. yeah.
And people were enjoying it, but you knew what everyone was there for. Everyone was waiting.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone settled down then. Mm. It was like giddy kids in school. Yeah, and then the teacher walked in. Mm. That's what it was like. Everyone was like, right, we're focused now. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, Piers, I felt terrible on you, man. Maxi. Oh, my God.
Wow.
The hiding you gave me. Jesus Christ. I remember looking at him being like, I know you're ahead of us. Yeah. I know you have a headache, yeah. and it's only round three.
I would call him something. I don't know what shot it was. I think it was a right hook. And I just looked at him and said, oh my God, they got to be haunting you.
Yeah.
Dave, there's no way you're like, I don't even think it was a right hook to the body, actually. And I felt, no, like, because when you wear them 8 ounce gloves on and the pads, whatever, there's nothing really in them. There's nothing in them. And it was like it was feeling his bones, no, his ribs after smacking him. I looked at him and went, they're horny, aren't they? I was like, oh yeah, right, have you now? Just stick on them. Stick
and you're
the
just cutting her off.
Cutting the ring
nowhere
off.
Nowhere to
go. How high of a level Maxio's is as well, though. Like, he's a high level fighter, and he's got walked down. All I could say afterwards, it looked like he never put a glove on before.
Yeah, well, he was a massive threat. He was a massive threat, and a lot of people thought I was up against.
Tricky, like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was up against it, but I made it look like after the whole fight, I wasn't up against it. And that's just in my preparation that I'd done for the whole fight. I had a Ukrainian over for sparring in Dublin for the last 4 weeks of camp. My God, the four spar I had with him, I said to myself, I actually didn't say it to myself, I said to my coach, I said, coach, we're in for a hard camp here. He said, you better write your... So I was like, right, this is good work here. And then just as the weeks are going, as the weeks are going, it was just like pace him. So the last two spars, we stopped him. So the last spar that we were meant to have on the Friday, didn't even spar him. I just sent him home. I said, there's no point in sparring you. I'm not getting no more out of you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If he was the same as the first time we sparred, it would have been unbelievable. But I just catched up to him. I don't know, that was it. I was flattening him. I said to myself, right, he ain't even on, he'll stop Maxi using 2-3 rounds, this fellow would. He ain't even on his level. He's a lot better. I said, I'm only doing this to him in sparring. I know sparring, but look, when you're a foreigner and you're over the sparring, you're a foreigner, he's going off regardless. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're trying to prove a point here. And that's what he's trying to do. But I backfired on him. And I said to myself, if he even tried to lace her up with Maxio's, this ain't going no distance. And vice versa. So I said to myself, that was the confidence that I got. Do you know what I mean? Now, I was like, going from the, obviously I had that Ukrainian for Mark Chamberlain, but Mark Chamberlain pulled out.
Yeah.
So we were sparring him, this Ukrainian, during the time when the opponent's getting chopped and changed for the fight, for the replacement. and when the phone call got made to me on a Thursday night, blah blah, that pulling out. Looks like Max Hughes. I mean, just make the fight happen. I don't care. I'll just make it for you happen. And that was it. Left at that. And just, I didn't care who it was because I knew how I was performing that ring and how I was performing sparring in the gym, doing pads, everything that we worked on. It was all coming off to a tee. I went, nobody's beating me that night. Nobody. And that was the mindset I had going out. Genuinely, it was just literally, it was like obviously training back in Dublin. Come back because Joe said, I mean, the reason why we came back was to sell it out, to sell the trainer out. And I was like, but as you said, two weeks, the majority of the tickets are sold. And 5 weeks when we got, so it was 5 weeks in Liverpool, and majority of the tickets were all gone. And Joe said, no, we'll still go back. I went, oh, lovely. I thought he was going to say, no, we'll just stay here now for the next 4 weeks and we don't need to go back and sell it no more. It was, all the hard work was done. I went, so we going back? And he went, yeah. I went, oh, lovely. But at the same time, I was living with Joe. I didn't want to be in the gaff with the kids or my Amy, etc. So thought it would have been a bit of a distraction or whatever. And instead of running for 2 days, he said, you better off going home to the family. I went, ah, do you think so? He said, go back home to the family. Went back home, sitting in Effie's bed. Best thing I've ever done. Just a little more. Like, my sleep just went, everything, training went up, my recovery, my food, everything was just spot on. I couldn't have wrote it. I never thought what happened back then would have happened. And it was a blessing in disguise being back home, Jordan camp, with the kids, etc. Because I was waking up in the morning, obviously the kids are on holidays, and sorry, we're in school. I dropped into school before going to the gym in camp, which I never thought I'd do, or else I'd have breakfast with them. Depends on what time I'm training at in the morning, and I'm gone out the door before them. So it was either one of them. When I fight day, because Ireland was playing in the Viva, so Joe said to me, he said, right, all the whole team, let's go back to your gaff. Back to my gaff, it's about 15 years. Where are you all going to sit? When is he all come back? Fucking shoes off, up in the feet, fridges are open, cans of Coke Zero everywhere. Everyone just going this and that. But it was great. Everyone made themselves at home. There was no one on edge or, can I get this or can I do that? I was like, we're all home here.
Yeah.
And we're all just chilling out. And I was watching the rugby. And everyone's either having a sleep or whatever like that in the gaff. So I was like, sound this. Now, me boarding the kids are out at the moment getting stuff done for that night. So they come in. So we went in to have a nap at 4 o'clock. I come back out at 4:45. And the kids and Amy was back. The coach, the two coaches, Joe and Taylor, they went to meet Philip. And there was only my strength coach left. I mean, nutritionist. Paul and Carl in the gaff. So I went, where are you all? And they're all gone. I went, oh, he's sound, yeah, no problem. I said, what time are you getting picked up at? 6 o'clock. I went, oh, that's grand. And so chilled out there. Had a cup of tea, watching the telly. Grand. Kids come in, causing chaos. Murder flying around. And I'm just sitting there, yeah. And I'm just like, just leaving. Just not like, no panic. Usually be like real on edge. I'm like, stop. Do this, do that. Stop it. I just left them and I was just looking at her. And I could see her panicking, waiting for me to snap. I'm just looking at her like that, yeah. And she looked at me, gave me the eyes. I went, all right. Yeah. We are getting ready to leave. She said to me, I said to the kids, stop being bold, stop messing. No, they weren't, they were just all hype and excited, yeah. You know. And I just said, I just leave them, let them, leave them. And I was playing with them, having a little bit of a crack. Got me bag, I said, right, I'm going. See you in a while. Left the door. I felt like I was going to the gym. Didn't feel like I was going down the tree arena. Bear in mind, I'm fighting in the sold-out arena. I meant, I'm just going in. It feels like I was going sparring which I was doing every day previous. Got me bag, I went, sitting in the lane waiting for the bus. I said to Paul, fucking great this, isn't it? This is great. He went, what? I said, this feels like now inspiring. He went, yeah, yeah. He said, you are, aren't you? Just picking up where you left off. I said, yeah, well, yeah, I'm supposed, but like, this is a bit weird. I never had this feeling before in my life, never. And I was always in the hotel, leaving the hotel, going to the venue. And he said, yes, yeah, sound, no problem. So anyways, waiting on the bus. Bus not showing up. I went, oh, rang, blah, blah. Are you on the way for the to pick me up? He went, yeah, yeah, just send me your location. Send me. He said, yeah, I'm 10 minutes away. Sound, 6:15. 6:30 came. 6:40. 6:45. I went, mate, you're on the way? He went, oh, I caught a bit of traffic here. I went, oh, right. I said, whereabouts are you? He said, I don't really know.
I went, oh, good luck.
How far is the sign away on your app? He said, just tell me 2 minutes. I said, okay. So he said, I'm just coming up a hill now. So I knew it was the hill up the hill 16.
Yeah.
So I went, yeah, right, cool. Go on, I'm waiting on it. 7 o'clock came. I went, that didn't take him 15 minutes to go up that hill. It's only literally a 200 metre round the corner. Like, he went, yeah, there's a bus in front, there's a lorry in front of me, a bin lorry. I went, yeah, is it reversing down the lane? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, stay there. So I'm looking at the bus, the fella reversing down the lane. And I'm whistling, waving my hands, don't come down this lane, don't come down this lane. I'm getting picked up, don't come down this lane. So, and the offering people didn't understand me. So I went, so I just said, lads, come on, I'm just going to run up here and grab them, or meet them. So we're running. I went, one of my mates, I said, John, grab me shoes, quick, grab me shoes. Grab me shoes, let me loafers on the pad. I said, quick, grab me loafers, grab me shoes, and me short. So I need to grab them, run up through the lane. But you just couldn't, the way it was, looking back now, it was funny, but it was a stress moment. It was like, oh,
yeah,
really?
Fucking right.
You know what I mean? I was stressed, yeah. Jumping the taxi. Jumping in the cab, like the fella that was picking us up, spun around, and I just looked at my strength coach, Paul, and I went, you couldn't write it, could you? You couldn't write it. He went, ah, don't worry about it. And I went, ah, look, it is what it is, and that's it. It is what it is. I just left at that, real calm, then came out, got out of the bus and went into the back of the tree arena where everyone goes, and she was like, yeah, pretty sure the dressing room is room 3, it's on the third floor. I went, yeah, cool. He said, you can get the lift. I said, ah, no, it's the stairs. He said, yeah, there. So I ran up the stairs, like literally I bear up them, heart rate must have been about 160 after, you know. I had that little bit of a pump and a bit of a sweat on. I was like, phew. So I went, opened the door, this is a studio. Like, knowing, like, where all the controls and all the lights and all that. And it's not my blade dressing room. So panic kicked in again. So ran down, back down to the fourth floor. So where's my room? And she went, oh, I think you were over there, actually. Try over there. Went, oh, I see my bag then on the back of, my backpack on the back of nutritionist Carl going in. So I followed him. Went, what the fuck? So everyone's panicking in the dressing room. Maxi Hughes already had his hand wrapped. I wasn't warmed up yet. I went, oh, just get these off. And then that was it then. Literally had about 50 minutes to get ready. Less time, the better.
Yeah.
Looking back now, and it was just literally smelled as an.
Yeah.
Smelled as anything. Literally, I didn't even get time. Like, so this is another thing what I was a bit nervous about. I didn't see that rain. I didn't see the setup before I made my ring walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually as a fighter, you go out and see the crowd and see what it's like, and you have a look around, and I didn't do it. I was like, oh, I wonder what it's like. Then I kept taking myself back, you know what it's like, you've been there already, you know what it's like. And then I was like, and then it's in the dressing room then, warming up, music blared, and everyone's happy as Larry. I just looked around. Now look, maybe it's just me being hard on myself again, and I'm being hard on the team. The music was playing, everyone buzzing, everyone laughing or whatever like that. I said, I'm going in for a fucking war here. I ain't gonna have me. I couldn't come back out here on a stretcher and not be able to walk in. These cunts are having a laugh. I went, oi, music off now. And everyone was panicked. A few walked out and I got real mad awkward and just walked out. I was left with 3-4 of us in the dressing room, silence, hitting the pads. I went, bum, bum, bum. And I was zoned in. And that was it. As soon as I done that to myself, started chanting to myself then, that would say I knew I was locked in.
Yeah, did you need them moments?
Bang, boom, that was it. As soon as I'd done that, usually I'd have the music blaring, listen to everybody and whatever, like to have a little chat. Try to take your mind. You think you're taking your mind off the fight, but you're not. You're having a chat and deep sides, I'm going out of the fight here.
Yeah.
And panic starts kicking in, but where it was like, let's face it, just knock everything off. Just, right.
You got in the moment.
I got in the moment.
I'm having a fight.
Yeah, I'm locked in now. I know what I'm doing. Right, this is the strategy. This is what we're going to work on. We're going to pick up where we left off and keep carrying this and keep doing this. And that's exactly what I've done. And I went down, I went back up, and as I said on the stage, I went, oh yeah, this is unbelievable.
Some of the best walkouts I've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
Like,
and do you know what? Do you know what? Like, even going through, even looking back now, through the whole camp and all, I was looking at everybody's ring walk, should I say, in it. All the main events, like the likes of Conor McGregor, Kay Taylor, Bernard Dunn. I was like, right, I have to come up with something better than this. I have to do something better here. I have to get the crowd going. And when, call me a psycho, but when they were walking, yeah, I always envisioned myself that was me walking, dirty and walking. Do you know what I mean? And everything that happened, same angle of the, I don't know whether it must be the setup of the arena.
Yeah, of course.
But at the time, we never thought. But I was like, everything was all the same. There was no different. And there I am there. I just kept looking, no one was on my own or anything like that. I was just having a quick look on YouTube. Like that, yeah, that's it. Just to get that excitement and visualise it. And man, it worked, yeah, it paid off.
Do you keep looking back at your own walkout now? I've watched that walkout probably 30 times from Instagram, especially over the next couple of days. Everyone was still posting.
The only thing that I did watch back was the ring walk on Instagram. I haven't watched the fight back. I haven't seen the clips of it. I've just seen the highlights of it. That was it. I haven't physically gone out, like, gone onto YouTube and say, right, personally boxing. I haven't done that. I don't think I will.
Why?
I don't know. I don't watch me boxing. I don't watch me fight. People say, why? I don't know, Terrence. I think it's more so because I'm at the doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because
not even the tweak stuff, Pierce, no. Like, I could have done that better.
No, because I know my coach is going to do that, and he's going to, when I'm in the gym, then he's going to say, right, this is where you're going wrong.
Right.
Now, if he pulls up his iPad and says, right, watch this is where, yeah, I've no choice. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to watch that.
That's
different.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to watch it for enjoyment because
you're not going to put on the gap.
I'll be moving. I should have done that there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'll be looking back then and say, oh, I'm not criticising myself and that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't enjoy it then.
Yeah.
But now, I do enjoy it. Now I'm looking, like, when I look back on the whole scenario, I'm like, oh, that was fucking good, that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But the moment of time, even when I woke up on the Saturday morning, it was normal. It wasn't like, I only got an hour kip ago. That's all, literally one hour sleep ago. And I woke up, I opened the bank, it went out. I said, everything for that, all that, like, I felt there was nothing there, if you know what I mean. It was like,
because people think, I think people think in their heads, like, it's going to be some mad, magic moment.
Yeah, I don't
you
know.
You wake up the next morning, you're still going to get down and make a coffee and just go about your day as normal.
So we don't went down and had a 3-egg omelette.
Yeah.
I was still thinking about, what, I have to count calories here. give me that croissant there, riddle my heart, won't you, mate? Give me that.
Yeah, it's,
you know what I mean?
If I'm, it must be, it's a mad downer, like.
It is kind of a bit of a mad downer, but I don't think I was so busy after, like, because I was in Dublin.
Yeah.
The Monday, the Sunday, I was straight being a dad again.
Yeah.
There was no travelling home, there was no planes or nothing like that. I was, like, back home to the gaff for the kids.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And then the Monday then, regulars, back to on the skill run. Genuinely, like, it was no different. And then after doing my skill run then, because I wasn't training, I was going out to the horses. And then that was it then, and then my day was gone like that. So the whole fight scenario was gone. You know, a little bit of a high, a little bit of a buzz, and when people are stopping you and great fight, this and that, but then behind the eye, like, right, what's next?
Yeah,
that's genuinely.
I don't know what you're saying as well, but if anything, from the outside looking at it, I think the most exciting part is what's next for you, because when you see what you did to Maxi Yeos, you see how many tickets you sold in the training.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, obviously we're all buzzing after watching you winning.
Yeah.
But the thought in the back of my head is, where does he go from here?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can do astronomical numbers in your next fight. I mean, financially, arenas, it doesn't matter. Like
opponents.
Opponents, of course, yeah. I mean, you, like, all I kept thinking is, he can come out there. He, like, astronomical things here.
Well, yeah. Even taking back to that night as well, Pierce, I was thinking, like, yeah, obviously, like, I'm not, this is not like, oh, this is class. I'm like, yeah, right. Like, we knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the first tick box to me. I was like, I obviously know he was in Jared proper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you would have told me, oh, he's going to win a world title in the three ring, I'm like, yeah, I know. What's he going to do after that?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah,
this is not shocking to us.
It was, yeah, because it was everyone from the inner city and everyone from, like, town that was there. Everyone kind of, they were just excited because of the moment of time.
Yeah, of course,
the balls, and we're in the train now, and that was the crack. But then I had really, like, everyone was back to normal then, weren't they? Like, do you know,
it was
that's
like
the
that's,
feel. Yeah,
it was a normal night. That's
kind of like everyone was expecting it.
Yeah,
that
was
what
it.
I thought.
It's the next one now when everyone's going to be like, right, where do we go from here?
Yeah, we're going
to
New York.
Where do we go from here?
I want the New York, baby.
Yeah.
That's where we want to go,
Is that the plan, yeah?
That's the talks, yeah. Yeah, New York.
Big.
New York 14 months ago would have been laying stand on knockers with a pint of Guinness. Do you know what I mean? Like, things have changed. Do you know what I mean? It just goes to show, when you keep on tipping away and fucking keep putting the graft in, that can happen.
And you were saying that Frank has the Trey Reina booked.
Trey Reina is booked for midsummer.
Right.
Midsummer.
So that's going to be before New York then, no?
Yeah. That's before New York. Before New York.
Right. And any, you can say if you want. For any opponents?
No opponents yet. No. There's a couple of names that went up, so we're just going to see which one gets accepted by the IBO.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But we will be defending the belt, I think, or else we'll try to get another belt online.
Yeah.
We were hoping, I was hoping to have something like sort of a unify.
Yeah, Dalton Smith.
We want all them.
Yeah.
But he's obviously fighting in June.
Oh, is he already lined up? Is he? Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, all them at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Fucking take every. We want every single belt.
Yeah.
Want to like have 5 belts by the end of this next year, please God.
Yeah, and then tell the truth. It's Shakur Stevens in New York. Tell the truth. You can tell us.
Imagine. Oh, stop.
That's it, isn't it? Like, that's.
Well, that's how things, like, with this boxing world, I can have, like.
Yeah, but, like, if you, let's say you do get Donald Smith, what's he, the IBO?
No, WBC.
And then Shakur Stevens, WBA?
WBO. The WBA is Andy Russell.
Yeah, so Jeremy, you start taking them off, there's nowhere else to go, like.
No, there's not. No, that's it. They move up then.
And then by him as well, like, you know what I mean? It's going to be like, this fella's coming up, unifying all the belts, you're going to have to fight him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I'm excited.
You know, like, and my first, it doesn't get any bigger than that. Like, he's one of the, probably top 5 boxers in the world now, biggest boxer, Shakur Stevens.
Yeah. He'd be up there in your number 2, wouldn't he? Like,
yeah, but I mean, in terms
rankings
of
and overall,
but in terms of name, you know what I mean? Everyone knows who he is. He's everywhere. He's, you know what I mean? You're talking Vegas, fucking Madison Square Garden, everything. You know what I mean? So,
MSG.
MSG. Jesus Christ.
That's where you want to be at. That's
100%.
And that's where we need to be at.
Yeah.
That's where I need to be at.
The only problem is you wouldn't be bringing half a town with you then. No one's getting
in. Look, the power I've got, obviously. With the power and the numbers, what it can do.
Yeah,
they come to the Trey Reina.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's no point going out and fighting in a 3,000 seat theatre when you can go down and do what 9,000 in the Trey Reina.
Yeah,
and probably make more money as well there.
Yeah,
it makes more sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a conversation to have soon, please. Just a little more.
Pierce, what is it? What's the dream fight?
There's no dream fights. They're all what I'm gonna do. The goal is just to pick up every belt. Do what Golovkin and Canelo and everyone else done, and then just move up the weight and do the same again. Then,
is there anyone you look at in your weight division now, any world champion that you look at? I don't want this to be like a clip or anything like that, but that you think would be handy enough work. Now you believe you can beat everyone, but is there anyone there where you're looking down?
Not easy enough work. No, it wouldn't be easy enough work, because no world champion is easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get past them, that top 10, nobody's easy.
Yeah.
Everybody's hard. And it's all about who puts a graft in through the camp. That's all it's down to.
Yeah.
How much do you want it? And Yeah, that's basically it. How much you want it. Like, skills does come in a bit, but if you're sticking on someone all night for 12 rounds, somewhere you're gonna break through their armor.
Yeah.
And that armor is not gonna be skills, man. That armor is gonna be willpower. Mm, they're gonna take the soul. So eventually you're gonna get caught.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the art of boxing. It's not skill. It's skills for the first start or whatever like that. But eventually down the line, if they can keep you off, that arsehole's gonna go eventually.
Mm.
It's gonna say, I don't want this. And that's just the doubts that people have in their mind.
Who's the toughest opponent, you think, for you to face?
Oh, toughest.
Who do you think's the best boxer in the division?
You have Shakur. He'd be good. Style wise, Selpa. Yeah.
You think him?
Yeah.
A lot of people tired about him, don't they? He's meant to be.
Oh, he's shit hot, he's class, do you know what I mean?
I've obviously watched so many of his fights, but people even talk about years ago, even when he was young, everyone kind of says about him how good he was.
Mm. You know? Oh, like, he's tremendous, he's very good at what he does, do you know what I mean? But it wouldn't be, like, you've got to look at yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What can you do that's going to affect him? And then just get him walking that and get him, just stick to the game plan.
You back yourself against any of them, wouldn't you, Pierce?
I need them. I need them.
Where do you leave the belt?
That sleeps beside me.
Yeah. Amy on the sofa.
Yeah.
He's on the ground sofa.
She can try that leather sofa. Yeah.
But, it's just like, it's crazy how far, like, from the first podcast I had that I've done with you towards now.
Yeah.
From just heart graft.
When it all goes down and when you do get the belt, don't forget us. You better come back in and show us.
I'll drop in. I will.
You'll have to drop the belt. The world.
And look yourselves. From what yous, do you know what I mean? When was the last podcast we done? Was in a what? Salon.
5 years.
Now we're in a studio, so do you know what I mean?
200 type of mics to the walls.
Yeah, 250 episodes ago was.
Fucking hell.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What a journey. It's been mental. Pers, I genuinely believe if you had 12 fights a year, you could sell that trade right now once a month.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe you may have tickets like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I just can't see a point in time when you're the main event in that trade arena and people don't jump on tickets now.
No, I think they will, because last time, when I was actually in, that's one thing I wanted to say was, when I was in getting the piss test, WhatsApp was coming through, and this before the fight, because I knocked my phone off, obviously turned back on and going through WhatsApp, people outside selling the 40 quid tickets for like fucking 200 quid.
Yeah.
Went, next time I'm just going to hold my tickets and sell them all outside.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Yeah. I want to the price.
Have one of the boys down the fire. Yeah.
I said, you don't need to watch the fights, all right, just sell these tickets. Yeah. But that's what I've heard, and it was true.
Yeah.
There
was people talking mad numbers for tickets towards closer to the day.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah. I went, oh Jesus, that's bleeding. And then I'm getting sent the fight week, then I was getting people sent, like, getting flags, posters and all, mate, like, sorry, not posters, flags, scarves and all. I went, now you're growing up, yeah. You're going through Parnell Street or Summer Hill or anything like that, and you've seen all the Westlife concerts and Kings of Leon, and you see all their outside of it. And I was just visualizing myself, like, not my t-shirts and looking at their scarves and t-shirts, and I'm looking at mine and went, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that alone, like, that's, in a way, is motivation. Like, saying to yourself, yeah, we're fucking getting it here. This is,
yeah,
this,
yeah.
But after all, then you're like, right, what's next then? What's next? Do you know what I mean? And that's just the way it is. It's fucking crazy.
I don't think that's a bad mindset to have to keep looking at what's next all the time. Sometimes you have to kind of admire what you're doing, though, as well.
Like. No, you do, but then at the same point, it's getting a bit jealous. Like, oh, I could have fucking done that. Could have sold them myself.
Yeah.
Could have got something to do that myself.
Yeah.
You know, for the next one.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Stand there with a 10th big bang on top of it.
Yeah. That's it.
Stand there with a horse and carriage once.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Before we wrap up, Pierce, I actually I should have asked this earlier, I don't care. What's a hard training day in camp look like for you? I mean, is it 3 sessions a day you do?
Two sessions a day. Long. Do you know what I mean? The 2 long sessions. So if I was in camp, Monday, Wednesday and Friday is sparring and sprints. Tuesday, Thursday is boxing and strength and conditioning. And then Saturday morning is just a plod with the lads, like just to, you could do anything to recover, like go for a swim, bike, slow run, anything. You just do it yourself on a Saturday and then just get a massage. But on the Monday we spar, either between, depends on where we are in camp, it could be between 8 and 16 rounds of sparring. Then finish off in bags. So you probably all together that morning session, you probably do about 20 plus rounds of sparring, of boxing.
Yeah,
of boxing. Rounds, right? That night, Monday, we'll be doing sprints. Tuesday, tech on the pads. Not major, just real slow, but you're going for about an hour, 2 hour. Just real slow. It's boring, but it's repetition. And overall, then you can actually see it when you can see it all come together in sparring. Wednesday, same again, but Wednesday evening is a green zone. So we'll just through the week, start the week hard, through the week, just maintain. Thursday, same again. It's a tech session, but it's a bit more graft, it's more intense. Strength and conditioning that night at 5 o'clock, and then Friday same again, spar, and then that night sprints again. So you're literally zap.
Where are you doing the sprints?
On the track.
Right.
Is it on the track or the treadmill?
Yeah.
It depends on wherever you.
You're not running up the Mount McGarner Street uphill to extend.
To be honest, at the start of the camp, we do 27 hills, which is, we do that about three times at the start, which is like run up, and there's 9 hills, and each one of the hills, it's actually the Everton Hills in Liverpool, and there's 9 hills, and we hit them 3 times, and I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm bleeding. I think, like, after all, when I've done on my watch from the start to the finish of the run, from warm up and cool down, walked out like bleeding 11k.
Fuck that.
Jesus.
Yeah, I went 11k.
And I wouldn't even mind. So say, take 2k off it, because it's only a kilometre away from the gym. 9k of hills week.
Fucking hell,
oh
yeah.
God, this is bleeding. Graft, this. Graft. And even, sorry, turns, even when you're hitting it, you're not sprinting, you're just building stamina and building the strength of your legs. Your heart rate's gone over red zone straight away into the 170s. You're like blown, you're like, oh my god. And that's out of sparring as well.
Fuck that.
I mean, that's tough. That's tough.
And then do you eat the same meals every day?
Yeah, same meals every day. I've got nutritionist. He works with a fella called Wayne Ambrose. Carl Evans is me nutritionist, and he works with a fella called Wayne Ambrose, which he lives in Manchester. But he does the meals. So what Carl does then, he brings you into the university where all the Sky team is. Now all the cyclists and all the runners. And to be honest, I actually think there was an Irish jockey over there not so long ago that I bumped into. They do all the body scans. They tell you the index and everything, your macros, all numbers. Like, this is all serious shit. Like, these machines are worth thousands and thousands. Like, you see people getting on the index and in the local gyms, and they're saying, yeah, this percent body fat, etc. It's all bullshit. But it's great if you're not an elite fighter.
Yeah.
If you're an elite fighter, you need to go and get the serious numbers, serious correct numbers. And that's what we do, and that's the game that we're in. And the numbers that we're getting, he sends them over to the fella that makes the meals, and he weighs everything, makes sure we're on the right carbs, right fats, and right protein. Protein for recover, carbs for training, and fats for your hormones. And once he nails down that, they stick their macros, no problem.
Yeah.
And he does also VO max as well.
Yeah.
So.
You were saying that to me.
Oh my god, you think you're fitting and you do your VO2 max?
Ah, it's insane. Literally insane. Now, I remember doing it about 6 months ago.
What's your VO2 max?
Harry?
The number
192.
No, that's your heart rate. What's the number on VO2?
On the Garmin?
No, do you get your VO2 done to put the mask on you now?
Yeah, I got that done. I didn't get a number though.
Yeah, they're supposed to give you a number, yeah?
No, I never got a number.
Yeah. And they tell you then, like, do you know, like, the highest number they got.
Wait, what was yours?
60.2.
And is that good?
He said, yeah. He says you're in, like, the top, like, 1% fittest people in the world, but in that top 1%, you'd be, like, at the bottom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
yeah, yeah.
Do you know, like that, but, like, that every couple of years, I think the highest number they seen was 90.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And then, like, every couple of years, it's gone up 91, 92. And it's this fella from Sweden who's like a fucking doing Ironmans and all.
Yeah. And what is that, just fitness, is it?
It's something to do with the amount of oxygen your blood,
your blood
producing.
But I'd love to see yours then in the middle of camp. Like,
yeah. An elite athlete. See
what that would be.
Which was, I was running for about like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just keep putting her up.
Just keep putting her up.
You put the incline
speed,
up.
Speed,
and the incline.
I'd love to make it hard on you.
I'd love to just do that. Even though I'm nowhere near my fittest, but I'd love to do that.
And you know what? It's tough because you're doing a facet.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need some water. I need to do something. But the thing's on you. You can't even breathe.
No. And it's bouncing on you. And keeps fucking, they prick your ear.
No, I prick my finger.
You prick my ear. So he's coming over and there's bleeding blood off your ear and you're fucking dying of death. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Deadly though. In the gym, a fella comes out and does it.
Oh, in your gym?
Okay,
it's mad because when we do that then, and then at the start of the camp, we do the body percent fats and we do all one, do you know what I mean? I actually must do, the next time I do a vlog of it to give people a bit of an insight, but through the camp, we done it again. And then we done it again at the after camp, when the camp was done, we were going into fight week, when we done it, and you just see the whole thing going like that. Do you know what I mean? But you see the ups and downs. I mean the weights and you say that's bleeding, that's crazy, that nuts. But it's good to have all that data now because if someone says to you, for example, you're 75 kilo, 74 kilo, and someone says to you, oh yeah, I can make or I wouldn't be able to make 60 kilo. Grand that.
Yeah.
That'll tell you. You can make 58 kilo if you really wanted it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no line. You can't fill the numbers. That's
the UFC do that in their performance center.
That's exactly
like this. This the way you should be fighting.
Yeah. So what you see in the UFC is exactly what we do.
Yeah.
But we just do it we just do it in the university, in the college. Do you know what I mean? Which is
I think the best staff log and stuff like that be fucking class. Give people an insight into. Even the training weeks in camp and stuff like that, I know it's the last thing you want to think about when you're putting in hard graft.
I always say to myself, but I keep letting myself down.
Get someone else to do it for you, record it and upload it for you. Do you know what I mean?
You're a blade world champion, bro. I'd
rather have my bowl of porridge before I pick up my phone.
Yeah.
Only waking up starving, like, oh, give me this. No chance.
Get ready with me.
I couldn't.
Right, Pierce, thanks very much for coming in again 5 years later with the belt. It was a pleasure as always. You're a legend. Keep smashing it, bro.
Awesome. Thanks very much. We'll see you in the summer in the Tray Arena. Take us out, Siobhan. Boom. That's us for this week, and thanks to the legends at Roystyle Furniture for supporting the podcast.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roystyle has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa, sorted. Beds, covered. Dining table, 6 chairs. Boom. All in one house package. Plus the lads in the store are sound. They're not pushy, just helpful. And if you're an online shopper, no problem.
Visit www.roystyle.ie, and when you shop in store, tell them that the two boys from the podcast sent you, and they'll throw you in a little discount.
Don't sleep on this deal. Unless it's on one of their mattresses, in which case, fair play.
So get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up in. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down.